Sense is one of the hymns that I had selected, but it's not in our hymn book. But it's wonderful when the Lord leads, you know. He always leads. You can pretty well tell when he's leading, and here it is, the Bible stands. Thank you. This morning, when listening to the radio, one of the Christian stations, a brother read a letter from one of his followers. It read as follows: I want all the heavenly books given by God. How many? I want all the books that God has written. And let me tell you, beloved, there's been a lot of writing done. Ecclesiastes chapter 12. There's been a lot of writing. People are always writing. And if you want to make some money writing, just do something bad and write about it. That's the style today. Ecclesiastes 12, verse 12. Further, my son, be admonished. Of making many books, there is no end. And they're still doing it. They did it way back there in the time of Solomon. Writing, writing, writing. And today they're still writing, writing, writing. And, well, you know as well as I do that most of what they write is a waste of time and a waste of your money. But they're writing. And this fellow wants to know all the books that God has written. Let's check on that a little bit. See how many books God has written. Now, first we're going to look at some of the books mentioned in the Bible. 1 Kings 11 and 19. First Kings 11 and 19. I'm sorry, it's 14 and 19. And the rest of the acts of Jeroboam, how he warred, how he reigned, behold, they are written in the book of the Chronicles of the kings of Israel. Now, that's not the book of Chronicles. The book of Chronicles is about both kings, both sets of kings. Where is the book of the Chronicles of kings of Israel? Where is that book? First Chronicles chapter 29, please. First Chronicles chapter 29 and verse 29. Now the acts of David the king, first and last, behold, they are written in the book of Samuel the seer, and in the book of Nathan the prophet, and in the book of Gad the seer. Where's the book of Nathan? Is it in your Bible? Where's the book of Gad? Is that in your Bible? Well, what happened to these books? But we go on, we could mention some more. There are several books mentioned in the Bible that are not part of the Bible. But remember what we read in Ecclesiastes of the writing of many books. There's no end. They wrote a lot of books then, and they're writing a lot of books now. And then we have another set of books called the Apocrypha. These books were written, from 400 B.C. to about 200 A.D. First Esdras, Second Esdras, Tobit, Judith, Esther, rest of Esther, the Wisdom of Solomon, about 12 books. Some people in their Bible include these 12. We don't. Why? When the Lord Jesus Christ was here, he never referred to them. and none of his disciples ever referred to them. And then we have some present-day so-called holy books. The Rig Veda of the Hindus, the Pratipada of the Buddhists, the Chinese Book of Confucius, the Zen Adva of the Zoroastrians. And that reminds me, on our trip to Europe, among those present was a physician, and he was a great believer in Zoroaster. And so one day I asked him, I said, did Zoroaster ever make a wrong prediction? He said, yes, once. I said, then he's a false prophet. Read it. It's in Deuteronomy. Read it. Any prophet that misses once, he's false. And Zoroaster missed once. And then we have the pyramid texts of the Egyptians, the Akkadian texts of the Babylonians. All these are religious books of the writing of books. There's no end. Then you have the sacred books of Shintoism. And you have the lost books of the Bible, the forgotten books of Eden. And when you see all of these titles, oh my, the forgotten books of Eden. Well, imagine. Now the question is, do we have the true word of God? Do we have what God wants us to have? Is the Bible the only book that God wrote? And to answer that question, we turn first to Jude, verse 3. How many books did God write? Book of Jude, verse 3. Jude, verse 3. Beloved. Oh, I like that term. Beloved. I'd like to use it. All of us here, saved and one in the Lord, we are beloved. Beloved by the Lord. And John tells us we should love each other too. Beloved. When I gave diligence to write unto you of the common salvation. That's a beautiful expression. We share one common salvation. My salvation is not different from yours, and yours is not different from mine. A common salvation. It was needful for me to write unto you and to exhort you that you should earnestly contend for what? The faith. Now, I'm going to read it a little differently from your, how many of your Bibles read. The faith once for all delivered. That's the way it should read. The faith was once for all delivered. So how many Bibles are there? Once for all. When God wrote this book, that was it. This is the book. Now you can become very unpopular, you know. You're probably aware of a general, one of the confidants of President Bush, and he's in great trouble. You know why he's in great trouble? He's in great trouble because he said the God of the Christians is the true God and the God of the Muslims is an idol. Oh my. Terrible. All gods are the same, aren't they? He's in great trouble and they're telling President Bush to get him off his consulting staff. He's too narrow. He only believes in one God, the God of the Bible. Well, you know, beloved, all truth is narrow. Did you know that? How much is one and one? Six? Minus eight? Two, that's all. That's very narrow. This book, too, and the God of this book, is very narrow. It's the only one of its kind, the only true word of God. Colossians 1 and 25, please. Colossians 1 and 25. Let's start at verse 24. We now rejoice in my sufferings for you and fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for his body's sake, which is the church. Whereof I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you. Now notice this. To fulfill, to complete the word of God. Please underline that. Paul's writings completed the word of God. Or you say to me, well, how could his writings complete the word of God when John wrote his epistles after Paul and the book of the Revelation was written after Paul's writings? Paul's writings complete the word of God. In other words, the final secret, mystery as the Bible calls it, that God wanted to reveal to us, the church, was given by Paul. That's God's last revelation. Or you say to me, but the book of the Revelation has some revelations. But if you look at the book of the Revelation, the book of James, the book of Jude, the book of Peter, you find one thing, all that they said was already based in the Old Testament. And they only expanded on Old Testament writings. Paul brought something new, the final revelation of God. And our Bible is complete and finished. So you're holding in your hand not one of the books that God wrote you, writing, you're holding the only book that God wrote. And I always say, and I feel, when I hold this book, I have God's word. I'm holding God's word. And again, I like to think I'm not holding Shakespeare's word. Now, he was a great writer. There's no question about it. He was a great writer. I remember when I was in high school, the first term there, we had to read a book by Shakespeare called Midsummer Night's Dreams. Probably some have read it. And Dr. Klein called on me. In the first place, he surprised me and shocked me. He said, Mr. Garnes. Well, nobody had ever called me that in my whole life. Well, that was enough to unnerve me. And then he said, on page so-and-so, line so-and-so, Shakespeare says so-and-so, do you agree with Shakespeare? Would you ever think of disagreeing with Shakespeare? But everything in this book is fit for our agreement. Now, what happened one day in the great hall at City College, seating 1,000 people, I believe I've told you this before, Professor Mott of the City College was an authority on Shakespeare. And he invited another professor from Columbia University, also an authority from Shakespeare. And there they were on the platform. Well, they had a lovely exchange. Total agreement. And then they came to one point in which they didn't agree. Professor Mott said so-and-so. Shakespeare said, meant this. The other professor said, no, Shakespeare didn't mean that. And I thought to myself, there's only one way to answer what Shakespeare meant. Would that be for Shakespeare to come there and tell me? Do you know the one that wrote this book is here? The Holy Spirit is here and in us to tell us what the book means. You know any other book like that? No wonder we sing the Bible stands. There is no other book like the Bible. The only book whose author is living and present to tell you exactly what he meant. Now, we'll see in the future. That requires study. But we have the whole Word of God. Another reason for knowing that the Bible is the Word of God. In the first place, Do you think that God would write a book and allow man to get rid of it? Do you honestly think that God would do that? Let's read Psalm 119, please. Now, I'll have to ask an excuse again for turning to so many scriptures. But that's the way my father raised me. You know, very seldom did he turn to one verse. He was all turning to verses. And he got me into the same habit. Psalm 119, verse 89. What God says about his word. Verse 89. Forever. Oh, do we get that? Forever. Eternally. O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. In other words, this book is going to exist eternally. Now, there are a few things that are going to exist eternally. We are going to exist eternally. And along with us, this book. And when God said it's going to exist eternally, it's going to exist eternally. And no matter what man does, and how hard man tries, he's never going to get rid of the Bible. Well, they have tried. I think we mentioned a few Sundays ago, Voltaire. Remember Voltaire? Great atheist. Used to burn the Bible. Any Bible he could get, he would burn. He had an office there in Paris. The office is still there. And what do you think that office is being used for? The printing of Bibles. This book is forever. We can't get rid of it. Well, these thoughts thrill me. I don't know how they make you feel. I am holding in my hand something, an object that will always be around, will always exist. And there is no other book like that. And many great books have been written. Greatest book in the world. Again, I have told you this. When we were in New York, my wife called me and said to me, there's a man here, and he wants to talk to you about some books that he has for sale. I said, all right, tell him I'll be home at 7 o'clock. 7 o'clock I was there, and he was there. The Great Books of Western Civilization. I want to tell you, it's a fine collection. Fine collection. But I said to him, how can you call these books the great books of Western civilization and the Bible isn't in there? He said, I'll have to take that up with the editors. A few days later, he called me and said, the editors agree with you, and if you will buy the great books, they will give you a Bible. Greatest book in the world. God's Word, the Bible. Everlasting. Isaiah 40 and 8, please. They're never going to get rid of the Bible. It's eternal. Isaiah 40, verse 8. Another of my favorite verses. A brother was asked one time, what is your favorite verse in the Bible? He said, it all depends upon the circumstances. This is one of my favorites, but I might have some other favorites depending on the circumstances. But as we're talking about this subject, this is one of my favorites. Isaiah 8 and 40. The grass withereth, the flower fades, but, oh, another of those buts in the Bible. The word of our God stands how long? Forever. And you have it in your hand. I don't know how you... Doesn't that thrill you? What else do you have that's going to stand forever? And that Bible that you're holding stands forever. Oh, a nice one. Matthew chapter 5, please. verse 18. Verily I say unto you, the Lord Jesus Christ himself speaking, till heaven and earth pass, not one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled. Oh, let me, where's my note? Oh my. I have a good note here on jot or tittle. Do you know what a jot and tittle is? Anybody? What's a jot and what's a tittle? Oh, it's in there. I'll just tell you from memory. Exactly. A part of a Hebrew letter, not the whole letter. And God says not the one part of a letter is going to fail. Can you imagine that? It's not that the word is going to fail. It's not that the letter is going to fail. Any, the dot over the I is going to be fulfilled. Just how, I don't know. And the crossing of a T is going to be fulfilled. Do you know how? Can you imagine that? How do you fulfill the crossing of a T? Oh, and this book that you are holding in your hand. Everlasting. First Peter, oh no, Matthew chapter 24. Matthew chapter 24. And verse 35. And 35. Again, heaven and earth shall pass away, my word shall not pass away. Now, John 10 and 35. John chapter 10, verse 35. The Lord himself is speaking, and he knows. If he called them gods, unto whom the word of God came, now notice, and the scripture cannot be broken. And you know what a dear old brother said? If it can't be broken, it never needs to be fixed. I mean, that makes sense, doesn't it? If it can't be broken, you never have to fix it, this book. Well, men have tried to break it. They've tried all sorts of tricks to distort it, to mistranslate and whatnot. It cannot be broken. It's eternal. And God himself sees to that. And under this verse, I have the hymn that we sang tonight. The Bible stands. Bible stands. I'm about finished. I would just suggest that you go home and thrill yourself with the book. But, one other thing I do want to read for you. Some time ago, our brother Craig spoke along these lines about the Bible, the translation of it, and so forth. When you go home, please review that. That fits in with all that we are saying. Oh, here it is. Is it all Greek to you? The reason is that the autographs or original scriptures were written in Greek. But the question arises, do we have the same words that the original contained? When it comes to the Hebrew, for example, we don't have the words that Moses wrote. We don't have the words that David wrote. Well, how do you know that we have the right words? Anyone? How do you know that this Bible is the Word of God when the original documents can't be found? You might be walking around with a fake. I ask again, how do we know that this is the Word of God when the originals can't be found? And Brother Craig gave us a nice teaching on that. Look it up. Now I go ahead. To answer that question, let us hear the testimony of one who probably is better qualified to answer the question than many. Professor Dick Wilson of Princeton University. I tell you, the Lord gave me the opportunity and the time to devote myself more for 45 years continuously when I left college to the one great study of the Old Testament in all its languages. How many Old Testament languages do you know? You know, that's one of the great things about Paul. Read it in the book of Acts. Paul spoke Latin, Greek, Hebrew, and Aramaic. Now, you're going to read about this man, and he spoke 26 languages. All so that he might know the proper translation of words for the Old Testament and the New Testament. Can you imagine taking time out of your life to learn 26 languages? I only know of one man who knew about 26 languages, and that was Professor Mario Pei. He taught us French. And one day in the class, there was a Chinese boy there. And this Chinese boy just couldn't get this French thought across. Do you know what Mario Pei did? He stood up there and spoke Chinese to explain the French to this boy. That's some mastery of language, isn't it? Well, that's what this fellow did. I had a great many doubts as to the historicity of the Old Testament, but not enough to hurt my faith in the Lord, but enough to make me want to settle the question once and for all. I decided to give up preaching and did it with a prayer, and consecrate my life to a study of the Old Testament. This was when he was 25 years of old, age. I calculated from my family history that I would live to be about 70, so that I would have 45 years to work. I divided the period into three parts. The first 15 years I would devote myself to the study of the languages necessary. For the second 15 years I was going to devote myself to the study of the text of the Old Testament. And for the last 15, I put things together. I devoted myself almost entirely to the study of the languages bearing upon the Bible, and I determined that I would learn all the languages which throw light upon the Hebrew, the cognate languages like Persian, which threw light upon its history, and all the languages into which the Bible had been translated up to 600 A.D. That's a lot of work, isn't it? That's a lot of work. I wonder what the result was. I studied 10 hours a day, but excepting Sundays, for the past 40 years. He's another Dr. Rolls. I have devoted myself 320 days a year to this subject. I claim to be an expert. You should be. I learned Greek, Latin, French, German, Hebrew, Italian, Spanish, Portuguese, Biblical Aramaic, Syrian, Arabic, and so forth. I just wonder, how does your brain take in all that? And that's why I think we read in the psalm, I'm wonderfully made. It's amazing. I covered all the kings of Egypt and of Babylon, from the earliest to the latest, the kings of Assyria and Persia, Greece, Phoenicia, Aramaic kings, I went to the original and have a monumental work that has been published. Everybody treats of the titles of the kings of antiquity. Everybody who treats of those titles has to go to my book. Authority. And he goes on to say, Dr. Driver of Oxford says he read 44 titles in translation, and when I was answering him, I found that I had found 2,656 in the original. And this man that just read a few hundred, he was an authority, here's a man that read 2,000. I tell you this that you may know why I claim to be an expert. My business is that of a critic. And his testimony. You can be absolutely certain that we have the text substantially of the Old Testament that Christ and the apostles had, and that was in existence from the beginning. I believe that. Do you think that God would let his word just flounder? His word is everlasting. I think I have one more point here that I'd like to make tonight. Well, the point that I wanted to make and finish with was this hymn, The Bible Stands. And here it is. We did it once. Let's do it again. The Bible Stands. Thank the Lord for the Bible.